good afternoon, and happy Sabbath. So impressed, so filled with the Spirit with that worship given to us by our praise team. If you go ahead and give them another hand clap and amen if we could. Glad to be back here at Message of Hope. So wonderful, so warm to be here. I'm going to try to keep my excitement back. I got so much to say, so much I want to talk about. I'm going to try to hold it in, take my time. Got my family here. They don't want me to talk about them. I'm going to talk about them anyway. Got my mother who's going to duck. She don't want no one to see her. Go ahead and wave, Mommy. Amen. And my youngest son, he was here last time. Where did Kalia go? Oh, Kalia, my daughter, went with the young adults. So she's going to be worshiping with the young adults. I've got my family here with me. Well, have some of my family. My wife went to Spring Meadows with my oldest son, so we'll keep her in prayer. So that's a little bit why I'm excited today, but let's go ahead and give us a word. Let's pray so we can get into our word this morning, afternoon. Dear Heavenly Father, so excited to be here. So just glad that today is a Sabbath, a day of rest. I didn't have to wake up and go to work this morning. Although I got bills, I'm not even thinking about them right now. Whatever worries and concerns, I'm putting them aside because you said today is a day of rest. So I'm going to put that aside and rest and live in you today. Let everyone say amen, amen. Another reason why I am excited is because this is a special season, right? Why is it a special season? Talk back to me. This is a special season. Why? You're quiet. Your birthday was last month, right? And your wife said also, it's what? I can't hear you. Christmas. Does anybody else like Christmas season? Just a few people. Don't we love Christmas? Think we love Christmas. We start singing Christmas songs. We put out our Christmas decorations because we know on December 25th, when we were growing up, we would wake up early and look under the tree so we can get some what? Some gifts. I'm not the only one who got gifts on Christmas. I'm the only one. We all got gifts on Christmas? No, some of us, yes, right? So as I think about the season and some of the gifts that I used to get when I was growing up, I was a superhero and action hero fan. Anybody else like superheroes and action heroes? Some of the cartoons I would watch are ones like G.I. Joe. Anyone ever heard of G.I. Joe? Yes, the all-American hero, right? Now, and there's another cartoon I used to watch called He-Man. Anybody familiar with He-Man? You like He-Man, right? He-Man, his alter ego was Prince Adam. Adam, He-Man. And he had a superhero, and he would take out his sword. Anybody, his sword? His sword, you know, his sword, right? And he would say, by the power of grace. I said, y'all watched it too. Y'all watched it too. What are your favorite superheroes? Give them to me. Batman. I used to like Batman. Yeah, Batman and what? Batman and Robin. You watched it. Come on, give me some more. Thundercats. Oh, She-Ra. That was the twin sister of He-Man. Yeah. Y'all watch some superheroes. What? Captain Planet. Yeah, all right, you on your own with that one, Captain Planet. you're on your own with Captain. But what I said, you can have Captain Planet. So in fact, when I was growing up, my mother would take me to the store at that time when I was growing up in the 80s. It was a store called Kmart. You ever heard of Kmart? You know Kmart? So we were going to Kmart, and she got me the toy, He-Man, and I got the he had a little sidekick called Battle Cat, right? But before he was Battle Cat, he was Cringe. But when He-Man took the sword and hit him with the sword, he would get bigger and turn into Cringe, right? Now, Battle Cat. And so he would fight. The protagonist in this cartoon was a guy named Skeletor, right? You guys remember? And so I would have these figurines, and I would play with them. And I'll have fun with them. In fact, 40 years later, I still remember. But my favorite superhero growing up. Who's our favorite superhero growing up? You know this? Superman? Come on, that's not your favorite hero growing up? Batman? Okay, Superman was our favorite hero. Superman, right, came from the planet Krypton. His parents sent him to the Earth, right, in a little spaceship, and he landed on Earth, and then these two human parents came and found him. what was their name? Jonathan Kent and Martha Kent, right? And so his alter ego, he was named what? Clark Kent. And the story says he was faster than a what? Speeding bullet, right? He was stronger than a locomotive, and he can leap tall buildings in a single what? Single bound. Y'all watch the stories, you know, right? And I too wanted to be just like what? Superman. So when I was playing, I'd take the sheet, right? Take the sheet from my bed, and I'd take the sheet and I'd put it around my neck, and then I would jump. And as I jumped, I believed that I was what? Superman. I believed that I was flying. And then not only that, see, my parents let me watch the Superman movies, right? There was Superman 1, Superman 2, and Superman 3. And this Superman, this had the actor Christopher Reeve. You remember him? Yeah. That was the Superman that I grew up with. Was that Superman? That was the one that I was watching. I would watch these movies, and I would be so excited because I wanted to be like Superman. And he was in love with this lady named who? Lois Lane. But everybody did not know he was Superman. They all called him what? Clark Kent. And Clark Kent was a journalist, and he worked for this newspaper called what? The Daily Planet. And you know, when he was Clark Kent, he had on these glasses, and he looked real kind of like, there you go, you said it, not me, right? But when stuff happened, when things were going down, Superman would come out. He would go into a phone booth. Anyone remember phone booths? Young people don't know phone booths, right? Phone booths are these little square things, a rectangle, and real tall. And in New York, a lot of them were red. And you would go into this little phone booth, and you put something in there called a what? A quarter. Yeah. And then you would call people. You guys remember that? Now we have what? See, that's why Superman can't even exist today. There's no more phone booths for So Superman was my alter ego, and I love Superman. And you know, I forgot to give the scripture. Let's go to our scripture text. So you can figure out the point with all this story. We're gonna go in the book of Matthew, chapter 21. The book of Matthew, chapter 21. I want to talk about getting superhero strength. Can we be a super? Do we have the power that our superheroes have? See, that's why I wasn't a big Batman fan, because Batman didn't have any. He had no superpowers. He had super toys, super trinkets, but super money. He did have super money, but he did not have superpowers like Batman. So let's go ahead and read, starting in verse 12. We're all going to read together, starting in verse 12. And the Bible says, I'm reading from the King James Version. So if you're on your apps, make sure you click KJV so you can follow along, not NIV or ESV or Message. We're going to do KJV this morning. KJV. So let's all read together. Matthew 12. And it says, and Jesus, let's start all over. Come on three. One, two, three. And Jesus went into the. All right, stop right there. Stop right there. I'll say it again. Come on, one more time. And what? Stop. Where did Jesus go? Who went into the temple? Jesus. He went into the what? And the title of this message this morning is just basically simply this: Jesus went into the temple. All right, so let's see what happened. What happened when Jesus went into the temple? Let's keep reading. Stop, pause right there. Make sure you're following along. Are you seeing this in your mind? You see Jesus go where? Into the? And as he goes into the temples, he starts throwing people out. He's throwing people out of the temple. All right, just make sure you see that. Let's keep going. He just didn't throw out anybody, right? He just didn't pick up anybody and throw them out. There's certain types of people that he's throwing out of the temple. What were the type of people who were thrown out of the temple? Those that what? Cast out all of them that did what? Sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Are you following what's going on here? Why is Jesus throwing these people out? Anybody have an idea? Right? Anybody have an idea? He goes into this temple. First thing he does is start yanking people up and throwing them out of the temple. I always thought that the temple was what? That starts with an H. Holy. Right? Is it holy for Jesus to come in and start throwing people out like that? But why is he doing that? They turned the house into a marketplace. Well, what does that mean specifically? What does that mean specifically? So any time you went to the temple, right, the first in the outer courts, right, the first piece of furniture that's in the outer court is what? When you come in, you have this big old thing called the what that's in the outer court. Those that know the temple and the sanctuary and the furniture that's in the sanctuary, anybody can tell me, not the mercy seat, that's the last. The first, you come in, you walk into the outer court, right? I thought I heard it over here. The altar of sacrifice. The altar of sacrifice was the first piece of furniture that you came into, right? And what do you put on the altar of sacrifice? Your sacrifice, right? And what are the different types of sacrifices that you can bring? A lamb, right? And if you didn't have money for the lamb, you can get a dove, right? So in order to have a sacrifice, right? If you're traveling from far, you didn't carry your lamb with you, but you went to the temple and you did what? You bought a lamb to put on the sacrifice, or you bought a dove to put on the sacrifice. Now, you just couldn't purchase the lamb and the dove and all these other things with your own money, right? Or even with the Jewish money or the Roman money or whatever money they had out there. You had to get something special, right? Called the Jewish coin. They had a special coin there. So you would come to the temple and you would have your regular money and you would exchange it for the Jewish coin. How many people here from another isle, another country? All right, let's name the countries we're from. Haiti. What else? Jamaica. What else? Jamaica. Any other? Just Haiti and Jamaica? Who? Bermuda. What else we got back there? Cuba, Barbados. All righty. So I've traveled. I'm going to use Jamaica for this example because this is my story and this is where I've been. So when I travel to Jamaica, right, those of us who go to Jamaica, we travel to Jamaica. We get off at the Kingston Airport or the Montego Bay Airport, right? And they have something in the airports called where you can exchange your what? Your money, right? So you go give them, right, $10 in American money and they give you like $1 million Jamaican dollars. Right, something like that. Because when you're in Jamaica, you have to use what? Jamaican money. Now, what they were doing, what these money exchangers were doing, right, is there may be a certain rate, but they know that you have to use the Jewish coin. So they would rip you off because you had no other options, right? For example, real quickly, I remember growing up when I had to drive to the Orlando airport. The gas stations around the Orlando airport, their gas prices used to be like $2, $3, $4, $5 higher than any place else. You guys may not remember that. It still is? But it wasn't as bad as they used to be because they came out, the city commission came out and said you couldn't do it. But I remember beforehand, like right on 436, like the last couple gas stations, it was like $6 a gallon. Because I was like, listen, what you going to do? You have to get gas there. They was ripping us off. So that's the same way that the people in the temple were ripping off the people. You know, they would give you your $10 in Israel money, and then they would give you back, you know, just a little bit in the Jewish coin. And so all of this money that they were ripping you off with, they were sharing it with the priests, right? So they was taking advantage of the people. Making sense to you? Okay, here's another example. How many people here have to pay for health insurance? Right? Rip off, right? And then they deny you, right? You understand what I'm saying? There's certain things you go to. Listen, when we go to Disney World, we're paying $100 for a Disney ticket. That's a what? That's a rip off, right? They taking advantage of us. And we go. So listen, I'm never paying $100 for nobody's Disney ticket, right? I grew up, we was paying like $35, right? So you got to know people. And I'm not talking about Sherwin, right? you got to know people so you're not getting ripped off. I mean, that's ridiculous. And that's just a ticket to get in Disney, right? How much you got to pay for parking? $30, right? And then you want a hot dog at Disney? That's $30 right there. You understand? So there's certain agencies, certain things we know where we get what? Ripped off. Now, you would think, you would hope that when you came to the temple, is one place you could go to and not get what? Ripped off. Now, when you're getting ripped off in church, in the, you know, times are bad when you get ripped off when you go into the temple. So when Jesus now comes into the temple and he sees his people getting ripped off, now you understand why he was doing what? Throwing what? Throwing tables, throwing people out. That's what the money changers were doing, right? So let's keep reading. So where were we? Let's start back at verse 12, because I want you to remember this part again. Verse 12 starts off with what? And Jesus went where? Into the temple of God. And read with me. And cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of what? But you have made it into a den of. These people were thieves, ripping off God's people. So he was throwing them out because they had made his house a den of thieves. But now watch this. Look what happens after he throws out the thieves, after he throws out the money changers, after he throws out those that sold doves. What happens? Verse 14 says what? All right, let's try that again. Let's try it again. Come on now. Listen to this. I know we just read it sometimes and we don't really experience it and feel it, right? Look at, understand the concept. People was going to the temple getting ripped off. Jesus comes in, throws all these people out. Once he throws the people out, now look what happens, right? And the blind and what? Lame came to him. Where did they come to him? And he did, and he what? Healed them. Now the blind are able to see, the lame are able to walk, and in the temple he's doing what? Healing them. Do you know any blind people? Right? Do you know any lame people? Okay, let me ask you this. You know any people that are suffering with sins? And people got some temptations, right? They got some proclivities to do some things that they shouldn't do, right? So after you throw out all the thieves and all the money changers, these people are able to come to Jesus and be what? Heal. Verse 15 says, ooh, and when the chief priests and scribes saw what kind of things was he doing? The wonderful things that he did. And the who crying? Now they weren't crying. You know how sometimes our kids be, you know, when we in the middle of church and they just start bawling. Ah! And you just shh, trying to get them to be quiet. You know, not that type of crying. That's not the type of crying they were doing because they was hungry, they was tired. This is the type of crying that they were doing in the temple and saying, what were they saying? Hosanna to the Son of David. They were sore displeased. I'm trying to figure how is it, right, that in this text, not saying that the adults are giving him praise. Who's giving him praise? The children. The children. Right? And I've studied this some more, and the Bible saying how the kids will come up to Jesus and they will play with Jesus in the middle of the where? In the middle of the where? The temple, right? In fact, while he was teaching, he was holding them. Some of them were falling asleep in his hands. And so they were so happy to be in the presence of Jesus that they were saying what? Hosanna. Where is it again? Hosanna to the Son of David. And the Pharisees were what? Sore displeased. Now let's be honest. If Bushner was up here preaching and my children ran up to Bushner in the middle of his sermon, right? You would be looking at me as a parent like I was what? Crazy. Like, how you gonna let your just in the middle of church, you gonna let them run up there, right? But the kids were all coming to who? Jesus, right? In the middle of his teaching, and he was helping them, he was healing them. They were so happy to be in his midst that the kids were crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David, right? And so then the Pharisees get all upset. And Jesus looks at you, realize that if these kids were to be quiet, what does he say? That the what? The wall, the pillars would cry out. Now, would that be something? Imagine sitting in church in the middle of message of hope, right? And I don't know, maybe you got, I don't know if this is real stones up here. What's that new type of stuff that they build houses with? Not the real stones, the dry, yeah, drywall, right? I don't know if the drywall would cry out. Do we have any stones in here? But if there was a stone somewhere in here, imagine a stone crying out, Hosanna, right? Praise the Lord. You would think some. You would probably leave like this place is what? It is haunted, right? Haunted with the Holy Ghost. So as you see this, as you see Jesus in the temple and you see what he's doing in the temple, it's making me think, Lord, what is your main point here, right? What is your main point? I see you coming into the temple, but how does that help me with my issues? How does that help me with my concern? And I came to realize that Jesus going into the temple is an indication or illustration of how I can receive the power that I need to deal with life's issues. Think about what do you mean? So what is the significance of Jesus going into the temple? Let's go to the next to the next text if we could. What is my next text? What is the significance of Jesus going into the temple? This is 1 Corinthians 3:16, right? Read this with me. Know ye what? Oh, you're too quiet with me. Know ye not, right, that ye are the what? Ye are the temple of God. What is ye? I know this is the King James. What does ye mean? You, right? Know ye not that you are the temple of God? Who's the temple of God? I am the temple of God. Just one person is the temple. I am the temple. Who is the temple? Nobody in here. Listen, I am the temple of God. I'll say it again. I am the temple of God. You say, well, what do you mean that you are the temple of God? Well, let's see what Paul has to say. And that what? The Spirit of God does what? The Spirit of God dwells where? The Spirit of God dwells where? No, not in you. In who? Me. The Spirit of God dwells where? In me. Why does the Spirit of God dwell in me? Because I read in Matthew 21, verses 12 through 17, that Jesus went into the what? Temple, which literally means that Jesus came into what? Ah, you're quiet. Jesus came where? Into where? Do you believe that? No, you don't believe it. I'll tell you why you don't believe it, right? Because when we're talking to you guys, I say, why did you do so and so? And you say, you know what? I'm only human. That's what you say, right? I'm only human, you know, right? I can't do it. I can't be kind. I can't be nice, right? Of course I make mistakes because I'm only what? Human. And when you say you're only human, are you telling the truth? Let me read the text to you again. Listen. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth where? In what? You. So when you say you're only human, are you telling the truth? Okay, let's try it again. Maybe you need to say it with me, right? Know you not that you are the temple of God, right? What does the temple hold, everybody? The Spirit of God. In the old temple, right? In the old temple, the same one that Jesus went into, you had the outer court, you had the holy place, and you had the most holy place. And Jesus, oh no, and God's Spirit dwelt where? In the temple, okay? Now that Jesus went into the temple, and we no longer have that temple anymore, the Bible says, know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells where? In me. So when you say you're only human, are you telling the truth? Why? Right, what else are you? You have the Spirit dwelling where? In me. Are you following me? See, this is what happens to us. Well, this is what happened to me. You grow up, right, and you come to these beautiful edifices. I said that, edifices, right? And my parents tell me, walk softly in the what? Right? No running where? Because why? The what is holy? The church is what? Holy. Reverence what? So what happens to us, right? It displaces our mindset of where true holiness lies. You follow me? See, because there's certain things that you're not going to do in the what? Temple, because the temple is, I'm not holy. The temple is, right? I'm only human. But Paul tells the Corinthians now, right? Don't you know that you are the temple? Right? Well, what does that mean to be the temple? That means the Holy Spirit dwells where? In you. Where? In me. So I have the superpower. Where does it dwell? In me. Are you following me? Because Jesus went where? In the Jesus in me loves the what? Right? So what? So easy. So when we're dealing with issues, right, we need to connect with the what? Right. Here's another thing, right? We all got cell phones, okay, right? And when we, for example, last week Friday, I went to Tampa, and I drove to Tampa with my cell phone. And I forgot to bring a what? A charger, right? And if you forget to bring a charger, what's going to happen to your cell phone throughout the day? You're going to lose all the energy. So I was at work all day in Tampa, getting ready to drive back to Orlando, and I had no charger. And my phone was on like what? 10%. And you know what my wife tells me to do? Make sure you charge your phone what? At night. Keep that thing charged all night so that when you have it during the day, it won't go what? Empty. And so Jesus is saying, the reason why I want you to pray, the reason why Jesus spent all night in prayer is so that he could connect with the what? With the Father, so that when he woke up in the morning, not when he woke up, but when he got up in the morning to go throughout the day, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's another one. We all drive cars, right? Well, some of us have electric cars, but even still, they both need to be filled up or they both need energy. In the same way, our lives need to be filled up with the Spirit of God. So when challenges come your way, you have enough energy to deal with it. That's why he says, pray without ceasing. The more you pray, the more you get filled with the Spirit. Didn't he say, isn't my house called a house of prayer? So that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me keep reading. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple what? You are. You are the temple. You are what? Holy. That's why in 1 Corinthians 6 it says, listen, flee fornication. Any other type of sin is done what? Outside of the body, right? But the sin of fornication is done what? Within the body. Let's think. All of us who get tempted with fornication or any other type of sexual sin, if we would just remember, right, that we are as holy as we say the church is holy, right? We think about that. There's some things we would not do in the church because we consider the church holy. And God is saying, listen, the same reason why you're not going to do it in the sanctuary is the same reason you should not do it because you are what? Holy. Are you following me? You've got the power where? Not outside of you, but now it's where? Within you. Let's go to Acts. Here's another one that's going to blow your mind. Acts chapter 7, verse 48. You guys read this one. Read it for me. Howbeit, it doesn't dwell where? In temples made by what kind of hands? 100% of the temples that we go into are made with what? Human hands. Now, what's the temple that's not made with human hands? Us, right? So he's saying, I'm not dwelling in temples made with human hands. I'm dwelling where? In you. I'm dwelling in you. And we often think, and I say, Lord, well, I want to be Superman. And God is telling me you are. Where is it? In me. I have come in you that you have the power to resist all the temptations that come your way. Are you sure? Yes, he's sure, because it's what he's telling me. His Spirit is within me. I know oftentimes growing up in the culture of Adventism, we say that Jesus was fully divine and he was fully human. Have you heard that before? He was divine. He was divinity clothed in what? Humanity. And oftentimes our excuses when challenges come our way is we say, well, I am not Jesus. Well, we've just learned that Jesus was divinity clothed in what? Humanity. The Bible tells us that we're filled with the Spirit. In fact, the Bible says Jesus went into the temple. And if we are the temple, then we are divinity clothed in what? Humanity. Divinity what? Clothed in humanity, right? Now, remember, it's not your divinity. Now, I don't want you walking around saying, well, I'm God and I'm king. Right? That's not what the preacher is saying. That's not what the teacher is saying, right? That's not what the teacher is saying. 1 Corinthians says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, I will what? Let him in. So it's not you that's divine. It's the Jesus that's in you that's what? Divine. And you're going to do everything that that spirit tells you to do. Because that spirit wars with our fleshly spirit. Let's go to the next verse. All right. This is Romans 8:9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the, if so, the Spirit of God dwells where? Where does it dwell? Who says it dwells in you? The Bible says it dwells where? In you, right? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That means if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you are not a Christian. Everybody in here will call themselves a what? A Christian, which essentially means that you have Christ where? In me. Right? And that is the hope to everyone else. When we go and spread God's message, it's like, why are you so loving and so kind? Listen, because I got the Spirit of Christ living where? In me. All right. Verse 11 says, but if the Spirit of him, I love this one. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, think about this now. There was a spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. We all remember that Jesus went on the cross. He was crucified. He was buried in the tomb. And then on the third day, he was what? Raised from the dead. Now, this text says, how was he raised from the dead? He was raised from the dead by a what? Spirit, right? But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell where? In you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you. That essentially means that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you and gives you power and authority over your mortal bodies, your flesh. Now you've got to understand when it says mortal bodies, right? Something that's mortal means that it can what? Something that's mortal means that it can die. Something that's immortal means that it what? Cannot die. Right? And that's why that immortality that's in us is why Jesus says those who die in Christ aren't really dead. They're what? Only what? Asleeping, right? And then when he comes again, he's going to raise us up. So you've got the mortal part. The mortal part is what part? Is it the spirit or is it the flesh? Flesh. Now, where in the sanctuary does the flesh die? At the altar, right? At the altar, when you say, thy way, Psalm 77:3 says, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, okay, well, what way do you want me to follow? The first way is you've got to go to the altar of sacrifice and sacrifice what? Not my will, but exactly. So who's got children here? Who's got kids? We got kids, our kids. Our kids come to us and they say, well, I want to wear these clothes. Our kids come to us and say, well, I want to go to this restaurant. Our kids come to us and says, well, I want to do this and I want to do that. And we as their parents have to tell them who's the HNIC. Not your will, Caleb, Kai and Kalia, my kids' names, but what? My will be done, right? Right. So my daughter came down this morning with some clothes on, right? And she wanted to wear these certain socks that she had on. And we told her, you can't wear those socks. You've got to change those socks. She's like, no, I want to hurry up and get to church, and I want to wear these socks. And we said to her, no, not your will be done, but what? My will be done. We will go when you change your socks. And so Jesus is telling us the same thing. Aren't we the children of the Most High God? Right? And so when we go to Jesus, we can ask nicely. We say, Jesus, Lord, I want so-and-so. I want to go to this place, please, oh Lord. And God will say, listen, I have something better for you. God's answers are always yes, no, or what? Wait. But the thing about it is when he tells us no, that means he's got something better for us. So when it says we sacrifice our will, we wake up in the morning and say, Lord, well, I want to date this person. He says, no, that's not the person. It's like, okay, Lord, I won't date him because you tell me to. I really want to, but I'm going to follow your will. Like my kids, give you another example. I tell my kids, they're teenagers. Who's got teenagers? You got teenagers. Man, teenagers. We need a special prayer group for parents who have teenagers. When are we meeting? We need a special prayer group for the teenager because we need prayer. Don't teenagers teach you patience? Do they not teach you patience? They teach me patience. And so I've got two teenagers. And you know, when you become a teenager, you start noticing the opposite sex, or you become aware of your sexuality. You start looking at people and you kind of like them, like, well, I want to be with so-and-so and I want to date so-and-so. But we've got a rule in my house, right? You don't need to be dating anybody when you're a teenager. Just some people agree with me. I'll talk to you here, right? You agree, right? Do you need to be dating anybody as a teenager? Where are you going, right? What are you doing? You're not working. You can't even afford your own date. You probably don't even have your own car. And even if you do have your own car, you're not working. So wherever you go out with, it's just money that your parents gave you. So we tell our kids, there's no reason to be in an exclusive relationship as a teenager. Right? No, nobody agrees with me. I'll speak on that by myself. You agree? I'll speak from experience. Like, I was crazy. I was dumb. You know, when I was a teenager. Oh, I want this so-and-so to be my specific. For what I've learned, there's no reason for that. You can like whoever you want to like, but you say, well, this is the only person I'm going to like for these next couple months. Because who knows, in a couple months from now, you're going to like what? Somebody else. Then they're going to be crying, and you're going to be crying, and you're just a teenager. I hope he's not watching. He's probably going to watch this later. So my son, he's somebody he likes, right? But he listened to his parents. He said, people were like, well, why don't you guys are in an exclusive relationship? And we're like, well, my parents told me that, you know, we're not old enough to date. But, you know, we're still friends. And so that's the kind of house I grew up in. And the whole point I make that is because it's not my will, but what? Thy will be done, right? So as we look at this, let me go back to the whole point that I was trying to make. Verse 11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you. So I'm going to close it with this. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that same power that was able to raise Jesus up from the dead is able to raise up that spiritual power in you. But for that to happen, your flesh has to be dead. Your flesh has to die. The Bible says, Paul said, I die daily. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, to present your what? Bodies, a living sacrifice unto God. And this is your true and holy worship. So we wake up every morning sacrificing our will on the altar of God. And as we leave the altar of God, we take God's blood and his water and we wash it in the laver, right? And that signifies to us when Jesus died on the cross and they pierced him in his side, what came out? Blood and water came out of his side. Then he goes now into the holy place. And in the holy place, there is a bread that stays there, just like the table of showbread, which God says, I am the bread of what? Life. Then there's an incense that's burning up in the sanctuary. And that incense represents our prayers that go before the altar of God each and every day. Then there's also a candle, a menorah with seven candlesticks. And Jesus says, I am what? The light of the world. And as we pray to God and as we study his Bible, we are led into the most holy place. And that's where you find the altar of God. And that's where you find, everyone, God's what? Mercy seat. And that holy and most holy place, we don't have to worry about that now. Jesus says, because he went into the temple, Jesus said, all of that can be found where? In what? Me. And so although you want to be Superman, although you want to have superpowers, you have superpowers. Maybe not to fly, maybe not to be faster than a speeding bullet or to leap tall buildings in a single bound, but you have the power to resist any and every temptation that comes your way. So you're not only human, you are divinity, Christ's divinity, clothed in humanity. So you now have the what? Power to do anything that God has asked us to do. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that today? Do you understand that there's nothing that I can't do without Christ? All things, that's why I said all things are what? Possible with Christ. I want you to take with you during this season, as you think of the gifts that you're buying for your kids or the gifts that people are giving you, remember the most important gift, and that's the gift or the presence of God, not under the tree, but the presence of God within me. When Jesus says, and we talk about the incarnation of Jesus, where the Word became flesh, right? When Jesus came down to this earth, the most important thing about that whole message is not just that he came down to this earth, but now he came down to live inside of me. He's living within you. That's the message of this season. That's the message for this time. You have the power because Jesus is living within me. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have spent with you. Help us to remember and never forget that God is living within us. Lord, help us in the morning to connect with you. Help us in the evening to connect with you so that we can be filled with the Holy Ghost. And Father, we're going to need your power and strength to deal with the difficulties that come our way. Lord, we may have sick individuals in our family. We may be sick. We may be dealing with financial heartaches and struggles. Lord, as we often say, life be lifin'. And we need a life that's higher than I. Lord, you said that you have come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So, Lord, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Be with those, all of us who are traveling to the baptism this afternoon. Let her remember, let us remember, that as she goes down in the watery grave and as she comes up, just as your dove descended on you when you were baptized, your Holy Spirit will descend this afternoon on and in her. This is our prayer today. Let everyone say, amen.